Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And we do thank you for tuning in. We'd like to let you know that we are an interactive Bible study, so you have an opportunity to call in and participate when the speaker opens the line. We also would like to inform you that these mics are live, so even though that you are on your phone or whatever you may be on, we can hear everything in the background. So we do appreciate if you would mute your phones until it's time for you to share or you want to share something, because we can hear everything in the background. It becomes distracting to the speaker. Amen. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For those of you who are calling in by internet, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate with the discussion. Amen. We are an interactive Bible study. We come together as a group or body of Christ to share the Word of God. And we do thank you for your participation at this time. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move on. We're in New Jersey this evening, Hackensack, New Jersey. Amen. We can't hear someone in the background, so if you have your mics on, please be cognizant of the background noises that we hear or everyone can hear in the background. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for this word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we ask that you would bless those, Heavenly Father, who are sick and afflicted. Father, those who remain publicly and privately. Father, we'd like to lift up right now Stuart Hawthorne. We'd like to lift up James Hobbs. Trinita Holloway, Heavenly Father, who is going for surgery this Friday. We'd like to pray corporately, Father, that everything turns out well with her surgery. We'd also, Heavenly Father, like to pray for the Dickerson's family, Diane Wilborn, Father. Lord, there are so many that we can pray for. You know each and every one of us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would minister to them and whatever their needs are, Father. You are God who knows how to minister to our spirits when we're in need. And we thank you for being able to call you our Father. And Lord, we ask that you bless the speaker this evening as he proclaims the word, Heavenly Father, let our ears be open and our hearts be receptive, Heavenly Father, to the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to move on over into Hackensack, New Jersey, with Pastor Reginald A. Miles. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You can come in a little bit clearer. We can hear you. Sounds like you're in the background. Amen.
Yes, I'm actually in a room right now where not too many things are here, because where I was at, there was a lot of noise in the background. So can you hear me now better?
We can hear you, yes.
Okay, great. God bless. I would like to greet you all in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, to my good friend Elder Clay and Dr. Clay. Thank you once again for having me on. Last time I spoke to you and addressed, it was snowing, and I asked you if you had a good back and shovel ministry to come help out. So, but this time we have nice weather here, so we don't need that, but we could use a lawnmower to cut some grass, amen and amen. Today, we are going to come out of the gospel according to John. And there are some things that I pray that you get a different revelation than traditionally what has been given. We're going to Gospel according to John chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse number 1. I'm reading from the King James text, and once, maybe twice, I'll touch on the Amplified version for some clarity. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want to take those few verses of scripture. I want to reason with your spirit from this thought, from this theme, from this subject. Divine preparation. Divine preparation. Now, I'm reminded of a statement I've heard from time and time before, that preparation is never wasted time. It's never wasted time. Preparation is never wasted time. You may think that you have wasted your time preparing for something, but you have not. You may have heard the statement, if you plan to fail, you fail to plan. And I'm reminded of the scripture in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 5. If you have that, you might want to turn. It says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty only goes in want. And to put that in the Amplified version, I like the way the Amplified says this, is the thoughts of the steadily diligent tend only to plentiness, but everyone that is impatient and hasty hastens only to want. So you must plan. You must have a plan to do something. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to open up the mics. From John 14, verses 1 through 6, where have you normally heard the scripture being read? What is your take on this scripture? There's no wrong answer.
We heard it at a going home service.
Okay, at a going home service. Anyone else? Is there another? Many times you're right. They're read at in a going home service or funeral. They will have an Old Testament scripture and have a New Testament scripture. And most of the time, that is the one that they'll read. But I want to give you, as I said at the beginning, a different revelation from the scripture. But it's going to touch on a going home service. Now, let's look at what Jesus is saying here. Now, if you are the type of person that have a study Bible and you like to actually write in your Bible and underline words in your Bible, the next time you see this, what comes across, I want this revelation to stand out to you. Verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Please, underline house, underline mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare, underline prepare, a place for you. And if I go and prepare, underline prepare, a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, if you recall the last time I was here, I came out of Matthew 10:16, where it seems like Jesus was making a statement when he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it seemed like Jesus was saying something that's a dual meaning. Or he may say something that may seem kind of confusing. Well, this fits the same category. When people turn around and they look at this scripture, most of the time, people get confused. And they get confused from the standpoint of the house and a mansion. How is a mansion and a house? Isn't a mansion bigger than a house?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't a house smaller than a mansion? So
yes. How
is in his Father's house there are many mansions? Many people have this question but are afraid to ask. But you hear the scripture time and time again, as my sister said, in a going home service. What is Jesus saying here? What type of revelation can we get from this? Or what can we get from history on this? Well, let's look at it. Let's take it real slow. Let's design it slow. We look here, and we know that a house is a dwelling for a family. Depending upon where you geographically located, you could be in a one-family house, a two-family house, three-family house, or four-family house, where people living on top of one another. That's a house. But when you think of a house, you do not necessarily think of a mansion. When you think of a mansion, you think of people who have some serious money, ball players, millionaires, billionaires. They have so many acres of land. They have a big main house, which is a mansion. They have two or three guest houses. They have a basketball court, tennis court, swimming pool. We call those mansions. But I'm here to tell you today that when you take a look at this scripture again and you see a going home service, you're going to think of this much different. I promise you that in the name of Jesus, you're going to see the scripture a whole lot differently. Let me explain to you what I mean. When someone dies, all preparation is made. And by it being made, the family there, their hearts are heavy. And they want to make everything look right for when the Lord returns. Many times, when someone had passed and I had to participate in a home-going service or funeral, I would call them weddings. I would call them a marriage. That would just come out of my spirit, and I never really knew why. And then whenever I would preach, I would call it a marriage made in heaven, a love cottage in the making. But today, we're going to talk about the divine preparation. But what do you mean, preacher? You keep saying divine preparation. Well, I just want to let you know, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared person.
Yes.
Many people die. Many people have passed. But sad to say, and I don't say this proudly, sad to say, everyone who has passed and everyone who's going to pass for Christ come, everybody's not going to heaven.
That's right.
Because it's for a prepared person. For a person who's not prepared for heaven, there's another prepared place called hell.
That's good right there.
That's
good right there.
So you're preparing yourself now to go to heaven, or you're preparing yourself to go to hell. And like I said at the beginning, your preparation is never wasted. What are you preparing to do? You preparing to go to heaven, or you preparing to go to hell?
That's good right there. That's good.
Now let's get to what I like to call the good part. I pray that you really have your spirit man open and your ears open, because in the spirit realm, I'm really going to feel over these next 15 minutes, I'm going to feel the spiritual awakening in many of you across this land and country and the world who's listening. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Keep that in mind. Also keep in mind, we're talking about divine preparation. So throughout this whole statement that I'm getting ready to tell you, keep the house and the mansion and keep preparation in order. Keep it in your mind. Here we go. Back in this time, when a man wanted to marry a young lady, I'm originally from Hackensack. If I wanted to marry a young lady, let's say, in the state of Virginia, what I would do, or what the man would do, is he would go to his father. And he would tell his father that he wanted to marry this young lady in Virginia. He would sit down with his father, and they would make a plan. Keep that in mind. We make a plan. After the plan was done, he would leave and go to Virginia. He would meet with the young lady, ask for the hand in marriage. She would say yes, but before he would leave, he would say to her, be prepared for my return. Because you don't know when I'm coming.
Wow, that's good.
Doesn't that sound like something about Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13?
Sounds
the parable
like
of the 10 virgins? I'm going to give you some time to turn to. Matthew 25, 1 to 3. You can look at it. Look it up. And you can read it after blog radio. You know not when I'm going to return. So be ready for my return. So he would leave Virginia, or I would leave Virginia, and I would come back to Hackensack, New Jersey. There I would say to my dad, Daddy, she said, yes. Okay, son, now it's time for us to execute the plan. Well, what's the plan? I'm already staying in my daddy's house. Okay? I have a younger brother. My younger brother is already married. My younger brother is in agreement with me to do what he already has. He already has a family. What happened when my younger brother did this thing, the plan was we got together and we built a wing on Daddy's house. And the wing that we built on Daddy's house was so big, it looked like a mansion. So we at Daddy's house, we built a wing on his house that looks like a mansion. Now I'm getting married. Now we're going to build another wing on Daddy's house that's going to be like a mansion. Somebody just caught that.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
So now, once my wing on the house is done, what am I going to do? I'm going back to Virginia to get my bride. Now, I told her to be ready because she don't know when I'm coming. Go back to Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Now, she's going to be warned a little bit ahead of time because they do this in weddings today. When I'm almost there, someone is going to go with the bell, running and ringing. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The bridegroom is coming. She knew I'm on my way. How many times have you been at a wedding? A boy or girl will come down the aisle ringing the bell. The bride is coming. The bride is coming. And everybody's in anticipation of who? The bride. All the time you knew she was coming, but you didn't know when she was coming. You had to be ready. So now, go to get her. She comes back. She's my wife. Now she is living in a mansion in my daddy's house. I'm going to open the microphones up right now. Inputs, questions, concerns, all, please, feel free. Anybody has anything? Well, as has been said before, if they don't have anything to say, I know they're listening. Now, let's bring something else to the table. People are saying from time to time again, he was gone too soon. She was gone too soon. Oh, why did he have to go that way? I don't understand it. And many people will come to me and ask me a question. Why did they die so soon? I don't know in the natural why they died. Can't answer that question. Not too long ago, a young man on my job passed away by way of a car accident. And people were heavy in heart. And they said to me, they said, Pastor Mark, why did he die? And I went right to Scripture. I said, his mansion was ready. Because Jesus said in his word, he's going to prepare a place for you. And once it's ready, he's going to come back for you. Your mansion is being built right now.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So when your time leaves here on this earth,
you should
will
be
you
prepared.
Be ready to claim it?
You should be prepared.
The mics are open.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. The place is already prepared. It's being prepared. And when that time comes for you to transition, you should be prepared. We should be prepared to go. And it should be a smooth transition. I'm not talking about how we go out, but I'm talking about spirit, because this is a spiritual thing. The spirit is ready. Not the flesh, but the spirit. Ready or not, here he comes. Ready or not, there you go. Ready or not. But we who are preparing even now in our spiritual inner person, that transition should be smooth. We shouldn't have to worry about anything. We should be, like you said, prepared in divine preparation. That word in itself, divine preparation, that in itself separates those that are prepared to go to that place. I'm done. But this is good. This is good. I'm finished. I just wanted to say that.
I enjoy you. I really do. I enjoy you.
Wow, this is so good. I'll never look at it the same again. But, you know, I want to go back to when you was talking about in my father's house. Now, when you were saying that are many mansions, my father's house, and the analogy that you said about the bridegroom going to, you know, seek his bride and all that, and him preparing the house and all that and building on the house. And how you said that when we look at it, a mansion is bigger than a house. But we're talking about God's house, the Father's house, which is the kingdom, which is the kingdom. The kingdom is massive. Mm-hmm. So we, with our mansion building on, or it being built for us, even though it's big, it can never be as big as Daddy's house. Because Daddy's house is the kingdom's house. And
now,
hey, my. Brother man,
this.
Brother man, you go there. This is good stuff.
Now think about this. About it.
Yes.
How many people, all their life, who grew up with little to nothing, always wanted a house. And they worked and got that house.
Right.
And they care nothing more about that. They just want that house.
Yeah.
They'll do what they got to do. They'll hurt somebody. They'll trample all over them. They'll call the law on them. They'll lie on them. They'll do anything they can to get that house.
Right.
But bear false witness, steal, connive, theft by compensation, whatever, for that house.
Yeah.
But you're preparing yourself for hell, think about the house you're really going to be missing in your father's house if you accept Jesus. Look at what you're really going to be giving up. Heaven and earth will pass away. See, all this that we're looking at right here, it's going to be destroyed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you putting your sights on that house or that car or whatever the materialistic thing may be.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And my father's house are mansions. And as you said, my sister, look how big the kingdom is. And he's going to put a mansion in his kingdom.
Yes.
What? Do you know what you're going to be giving up because you cared about the cares of this world?
This is good stuff.
Is there another? Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to call somebody else. Mama, what you got to say? I know you're out there.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this, and I'm looking at it in a different way.
Yes,
I really am.
Yes.
I've never looked at it that way. I enjoyed you, and I enjoyed the young lady. I tell you, I was in my house wanting to shout.
It's good, Mom. It's good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'll never look at it again the same way. Mm-mm.
I won't either. Mm-mm. Because, like you said, it's always at a home-going service. You never...
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. Mm-mm.
Go
and
on, Pastor.
I'll tell you this. My mother can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
I call him my third grandfather. He's no longer with us. He's from Labor to Reward, the Reverend Clarence Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
When the preacher preached his eulogy, he told a story about a young man sitting in the rain after baseball practice. And he wouldn't leave until his father came and got him. Wouldn't leave until his father came and got him. Nighttime had failed, the baseball coach had called Mama. He said he need not leave until his father comes. So the coach said, when you get home, call me. When you get home, call me. Well, to make a long story short, the boy's father came and got him. And he called the coach. He said, Coach, I'm home. But what happened now, the late Reverend Clarence Merritt had passed away. While he was telling that story, a cell phone was ringing in the church. I got mad. I got heated. I'm like, who's calling here during this service? So the phone hung up. Phone rang again. I got hot. And I walked out, and I took a look. They said, pastor's for you. So they gave it to the pastor's preacher's eulogy. He said, okay, all right. Hang up the phone. He said, oh, y'all, that was the Reverend Clarence Merritt. He made it home.
Mm-hmm.
He made it home when he got in his mansion because the daddy came and got him.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-mm.
Your mansion. Now, did he really call from heaven? No, but the point was there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He was going to his mansion.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, is there another? Please don't have me call somebody out. Mr. Wilbert, you out there? I guess not. It's a good friend of the family. I thought he would be listening. He said the next time he wanted to listen.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You are out there. How you doing, sir?
Praise God.
Very good. Excellent job. Excellent job. As
do you have anything you'd like to add, anything you'd like to say about the Word of God?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'm not that much of a religious man, but I enjoy listening to a good service, though.
Okay.
And you're doing an excellent job, Reggie. Excellent job. This is my second time of hearing you, and each time get better.
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you for tuning in.
Okay.
Elder Clay, any words? Okay. Does anybody else have anything? Because that
Reg.
Yes. Yes.
I enjoyed you and I know you, but I sure want to meet the young lady that was.
God bless you. God bless you, Sister Mom.
Good girl. The two of y'all is a duo today.
But you know what? When you hear a word of God that's being dissected like this, it just opens you up.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
I can't take no credit for this. This is the Holy Spirit. You know, because
yes.
Pastor is taking us on a flight to let us know that there's more to the word than just what we're reading.
Yes.
Can go deeper.
Yes.
But into
Amen.
The scripture.
Amen. This was a true joy. I never thought of it this way. And I need that because I sat here while you were ministering, and I'm going, okay, right, like a revelation. But that's what the word does. You can read the scripture, but when it's time for you to see something else in it, the Lord just allows you, just pulls you out. The Holy Spirit opens you up where you're at, ready to receive new revelations from the same.
Yes.
So, I just thank God for that. Thank you so much,
Mr. Miles.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I want you to remember. Now, let's take it a little bit slow and a little bit deeper.
Okay.
The Son went to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
They had preparation. They got the plan together to build the wing. The Son going to Virginia had to have preparations for travel. He gets there. She has to make preparations for his return.
Mm-hmm.
He has to prepare to come back. Then he has to prepare the place and then prepare to go back. So all throughout the whole process, there was a lot of preparation being done. Believe it or not, if you don't prepare, you're going to be like it says in Proverbs 21:5. Have a friend of mine I've known years,
mm-hmm.
and she would always ask me, what are you doing now? I said, I have my organizer, I'm preparing for the next quarter, January, February, March. Then we'll not only prepare for January, February, and March. Then I will prepare for January. Then I will prepare for January week 1 through week 4 or week 5, how many weeks. Then I will prepare daily. Because if you don't have a plan, if you don't prepare, you will fall by the wayside.
That's good. Preparation
will never be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a plan on where to go with it, if a hiccup comes, you can deviate. You can go around it. You can go through it. You can go over it or go under it.
That's good. That's good.
And then you won't be...
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I have a shout up in here.
No, it's not me. That's the Holy Ghost.
Well, I feel like I'm the same way. What they say from heart to heart and breast to breast, because I sure want to shout up in here too.
Well, shout.
Well, all you got to do, your mic is off mute. Let it go.
Good.
My daughter,
mm-hmm.
graduated high school last week Thursday.
Amen.
And my daughter prepared something that caused my mother and I to shout and praise God right there in the service.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of the hat of her cap,
mm-hmm.
she says, I did it, Grandpa. My dad is no longer with us. She prepared that. and surprised us with that.
Woo.
And the spirit fell on both of us. And I'm saying to my mom, I hope I don't embarrass you. She says she hopes she ain't embarrass me. But we won't embarrass to praise God. And why was it being let go? Because of preparation earlier to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive His Word, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to receive what the pastor anointed under the Word of God to teach you. Preparation.
Yes.
Do we have anybody in the South? North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. Please chime in.
Wow, this is so... This is so good.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, it's over and done. I'm finished with what I had to bring to you because I don't believe in long-winded preaching.
Praise God, but this was powerful right here.
Yes.
This was powerful right here. I'm praying that Elder Johnny, sweet.
Amen. This is a blessing.
Yes,
thank
it is.
You so much.
There's so much revelation in this word. This word is so powerful, so enlightening. I like it when God calls us into the deep, you know, and opens up not only our spirits but our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let this mind be. And I like what you said before when you were saying something, and my mind went to the scripture about. Oh, I know it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you were talking about people always want to get the house and get the cars and all that stuff is going to pass away. That's why in the scripture it says, set your affections on things above.
Yes.
Set those affections on things above, because we know that this right here is temporal. So we need to prepare ourselves for the permanent destination,
mm-hmm.
the divine preparation for the prepared destination for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a word, Pastor.
Amen.
Word.
And it makes you think about the way we live our life, like you were saying, Sister Anna, that
yes.
we spend so much time collecting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to impress other people. I think that, though, when we get to the blessing of being able to age, number one, that's a blessing.
Right.
That's a blessing. We should be thrilled to be whatever age the Lord has allowed us to get to. I'm excited about, you know, 60, 61, you know.
Yes.
And folks don't understand that, but the Lord didn't have to give me that opportunity. But one of the things about getting older is that you learn to simplify, and you learn over time from watching and listening to others and sitting at the feet of wise women and elders and so forth. You learn to what really matters. And I think that, like with Pastor Miles talking about being prepared, that the Lord Jesus Christ had gone to His Father to prepare the place for us, that that's part of our preparation while we wait, is to simplify our lives, to get rid of the clutter, and look at what really matters. And what really matters is our relationships with one another, the way that we prepare for the generations that are coming. How are we teaching them? How are we sharing with them? How are we taking care of our elders and honoring elders? You know, how are we ministering to one another and spreading the good news? How are we doing that as we wait?
as we wait to go to the prepared place. And that's what counts. That's what counts in the kingdom. It's not about the car you drive. It's not about how much money you have in the bank. It's not about where you live. It's about what you have done. It's about your heart.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good.
He is so good.
So, Pastor Miles, we're going to be signing you up for another day real soon. One of the things I wanted to ask you while we were, when I was doing the notice online, I wanted to ask you, what is the name of your church? Of your church?
I have a Christian Fellowship Outreach Ministries. Now, that's actually an outreach ministry through all, well, not all medium, but most medium. My main focus is by way of Facebook. If those who want to follow, you can find me under Reginald, Reginald, C as in Clarence, A as in Andre Miles, M-I-L-E-S. And you know it's me because you'll see me in my church garb being yoked by my bishop, by my pastor, Larry D. Palmer.
Now, you said Reginald C.
Reginald C-A Miles, R-E-G-I-N-A-L-D, C as in Clarence, A as in Andre Miles, M-I-L-E-S. Now, my birth name is Reginald A. Miles. That's the name Mama gave me.
Yeah.
But as far as ministry is concerned, I go by C. A. Miles because my daddy's name is Clarence.
Okay.
Okay.
And one of the
say the name of your ministry one more time.
Christian Fellowship Outreach Ministries. And it's online, but by way of Facebook, and I also go in the streets, literally in the streets, and witness to the people in the streets.
That's good.
I'm also a part of Israel Total Life Ministries out of Waldorf, Maryland, where the bishop is Bishop Larry D. Palmer, and I've been with him for 26, close to 30 years.
Wow.
And that's my spiritual father.
Wow, amen.
And waiting for the Lord to give the green light if he does, so I can relocate there.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for those of us who want to follow Pastor Miles, please go on Facebook to Christian Fellowship Outreach Ministries. And remember, the name is Reginald C. A. Miles. Follow him on Facebook. You also may want to follow Israel Total Life Ministries. The pastor there is Bishop Larry Palmer. Bishop Palmer is located in Maryland, Waldorf, Maryland, and Pastor Miles is located in Hackensack, New Jersey.
Let me correct that. I was born and raised in Hackensack. The reason why you hear this echo is I just recently moved into my new apartment.
Praise God.
So I'm located now in New Milford, New Jersey.
New Milford?
New Milford, New Jersey. That's about 5 minutes north of the Hackensack border.
Okay, so he's in New Milford, New Jersey. So please look for them on Facebook and on and access their website. Think of these ministries as you choose to support a ministry. You're looking for someone to support, someone who's tuning into the community, someone who's doing outreach. To those that are not in the kingdom, outreach to bring the sin and evangelizing. So please support the ministries as you the Lord blesses you and the
yeah.
Holy Spirit puts them on your heart.
And also when I'm not actually ministering in the streets, you can also go to Solid Rock Baptist Church in Patterson, where the pastor there is Reverend Bennett Johnson III, a good friend of mine. At a Solid Rock Baptist Church in Patterson, it's 193 Spring Street in Patterson, New Jersey. And when I'm not out, I'm there with them, helping him and assisting them there.
Amen.
And for those who want a word every Sunday, you just say you can't get out, but you want a word that you can study and take with you throughout the week. Every Sunday, I put a word out there on my page, and I just started a new series, and the new series is Struggle.
Okay.
How you are doing some things. You feel good while you're doing it, but after it's all said and done, you feel guilty.
Mm.
How come you can't shake that thing? How come you can't shake that thing that feels so good while you're doing it, but then later you feel guilty? That's what I'm teaching on now. And I have a whole series of lessons out there. Some on family, some on marriage, some on sin, some on money. And for a good portion of that Facebook page, now you must have your Bible.
Amen.
Have your highlighter, have your pad, have your pencil. Because there are a lot of things that churches are teaching that are not Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And on my page, a lot of falsehoods are being corrected.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
A lot of, and one falsehood that I did speak on was when people say, well, that's my interpretation of Scripture. And I show you in the Bible, where the Bible talks about there's nothing of personal interpretation.
Right.
To destroy that falsehood.
That's right. And we're supposed to all be on one mind.
Correct.
And that mind is the mind of Christ.
Yes.
So whatever the Word says, it's not our opinion. It's what the Word says.
Correct.
You know, I agree, Pastor.
You know, there's another thing that I also put out there. And I'll give you this now. Wherever you look into the Bible, and whenever you see the term angel of the Lord or the angel of the Lord, that is God himself. That's God. See, but a lot of people think that that's an actual angel. It's God. Whenever you take that and you look that up and you research and you dig it out, the term the angel of the Lord is God. God the Father. And these are the type of things that I take you through step by step in the Word. Don't give me much.
An explanation on that one. I hope that Minister Corey will find you up soon, because I would really like to hear more than that on you preaching on the angel of the Lord. I'm looking at the time, and I know we don't have time for you to explain it right now, but if you come in and do that for us, do a teaching on that. We have a wonderful teaching, a gift of teaching, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
I will. I have to, just to let you know, I have gotten in my new schedule at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to get on before today. But as I had said before, last time I was going through the storm, and sister, let you know that storm is over. You prayed for me and you said that the storm would be over in this year, and it is over.
Praise God.
So I thank you for that. But I will like to, I would love to come back. Love to come back if you would have me.
Praise God. Praise God.
God. Praise God. Suzanne, praise God. He coming back, isn't he?
Amen.
I do understand that you have the first and the fourth. I believe it's the first and the fourth Wednesdays you may have open and things of that nature. But I will coordinate with you and Elder John, Elder Clay, to work something out. But I would love to come back.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good. John is having technical problems right now. He's at home, and I'm at the nursing home with my father. And then I'm listening to it here. So oftentimes, I'll be real quiet if things are going on here. So I can communicate.
But we definitely thank God that there was a host in the house.
Yeah. God bless you, Lord. Thank you. To all of our listening audience, we say thank you so much. Have a wonderful, blessed week in the Lord. This is the message you received today. You
are alone again.
Digest it and hear it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your
my mind. It's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. So all I have is lost, it seems, from the shadow. I can look beyond the sky, deep into the Father's eyes, and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin again with the passion of a child. My heart is cultivation of a life that's still worthwhile. I can reach out down.